Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, titled, Follow Paul. It has become the big fad these days for professing Christians to call themselves, quote, red-letter Christians, end quote, and to even accuse those of us who emphasize Paul's epistles of not following Jesus. But the reality is that anyone calling themselves a Christian should live by every word of God, Matthew 4:4, and not confine themselves to just one section of Scripture. The important thing is that believers apply what they read in accordance with its context and the intent of the author, who is God. And that is Jesus. And any Christian not following Paul is not really a red-letter Christian to begin with, and is not really following Jesus. That's the biblical truth we'll discuss in this study. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those by email to bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send them by U.S. Postal to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And now we begin our study in Philippians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, titled Follow Paul. This is part one of two.
Philippians 3, beginning in verse 15. We're going to title the message, Follow Paul. Follow Paul. All right. While you turn there, go ahead and sing. I want to sing a song before we get into the Bible study. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling, take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him, all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him through the judgment. I'll go with him all the way. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory, and go with me, all the way.
follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. Will you sing that chorus with me? Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way.
Amen. All right. Philippians 3, 15 through 17. Now, Paul was moved by God's Spirit to say that the bottom line is to follow me. Isn't that something? So what we're going to see as we read this text, they're going to, beginning in verse 15, and read that with me. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to see what thus saith the Lord. Pray that everyone has a heart that is teachable, that we are always ready to be molded as you would see fit, to move, to change, to tear away, and to add to. Lord, may we always be submissive to your word. And we just ask that you bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul was moved by God's Spirit to appeal to us and say, follow me. Now, you're not really going to hear me say that about myself. How many of you ever have I ever looked at you and said, you know what, you need to follow me. You need to follow my example. You need to follow my opinions. Anybody here say I said that? I was going to call you a liar. Now, but it's funny, she was joking, kind of raised her hand, but, you know, my children, I did say that too. My children, I did say, you know what, your daddy is trying to be a good Christian husband and father. And you, for example, to my girls, I said, you've never seen me physically abuse your mom. You should never put up with that either. I said to the boys, you've never seen me physically abuse your mom. Have you? Honestly, they could say, no, they never saw me. Then you should never do that either. Not that I have any idea that they would. But that's the kind of thing. A father ought to be able to look at their kids and say, follow my example, or you got a good mom, follow your mom's example. There are some people who couldn't say that. But that's, as a pastor, I'm not going to call on you to follow me, but I try to live in such a way that if you did, you wouldn't be going the wrong direction. As one thing I tell people, they question about how they're living their Christian life. I say, ask yourself this one question. If everybody was like you, what would the Christian world be like today?
Amen.
Most Christians would have to honestly say it would be hell on earth. They don't attend church, so the churches would be empty. A lot of them go to church and don't take part in the singing, so I'd be up here all by myself, singing solo all the time, with people just looking at me. And you know what? When a Christian doesn't sing, what I tell them? You know, they have some people might have a sore throat. There might be some exit, but just a Christian who feels fine physically, who doesn't sing, you're just telling me you don't have anything to sing about. That's what you're telling me. Because, I'm going to tell you something, you can't stop me from singing. When I don't feel good, you'll know it, because that's when I don't sing. When I'm sick, you know, when I'm coughing, you know. This first time I've done a solo, I don't remember how long, but it's been a long time because I haven't been able to sing without stopping in the middle of it to cough. I told Jenny a couple times, I back her up, and I said, you know, if I drop out, then you can go on without me. But I didn't sing myself for that very reason. A lot of Christians, if everybody lived like they did, then we wouldn't have churches, couldn't afford to pay the bills. Ask yourself, if everybody gave the way you gave, could the churches stay open? 10% of the Christians pay all the bills. You know what that means? Not only if everybody lived like the other 90%, we wouldn't have churches. We'd be like Russia. Yep. You know. But 90% of the Christians are going to stand up there before the Lord and be ashamed of themselves. That blows my mind. Because you only hear me preach on and mention money, you know, probably 10% of the time at most. And I don't even think it's that much. I mean, maybe like 2 or 3% of the messages. If you went on the internet, I think we're up to 1,000 messages on the internet. You can listen to 1,000 of those, and I think maybe it'd have to be less than 100 that I've ever mentioned money or giving or anything. But boy, whenever I mention it, I get the most mail. Because this generation are a bunch of tightwads. And all you have to do is mention money, and you're going to get in trouble. Money, 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 money. Money, money. I want to be in trouble with this pathetic generation. Yeah, and you're going to stand before the Lord. And you know what? Way back, I came out of a church where the guy harped on money all the time. And some Christians will use that excuse not to ever give a dime. But I sat there and I thought, you know, when I stand before the Lord, what if he says, you know, if a person makes $25,000 a year, you do the math. Over a lifetime, a career, they're going to make a couple million dollars. What's 10% of a couple million dollars? $200,000. There are going to be Christians who should have given more than $200,000 to the Lord's work. What are they going to do if Jesus looks and says, you gave $20,000 over your entire adult lifetime? You gave 1%. See, why are you getting on this? I just have a feeling it needs to be said. I'm not just talking about this. We've got people on live stream. We've got people who hear this on the radio. People going to hear on the internet. And I'm just doing you a favor by confronting you, because you have decided you're not going to think honestly before God. So here you go. I'm going to put your feet to the fire this morning. I think most Christians are going to be ashamed when they stand before the Lord, and how many of their preachers will confront them with it. I know Christians who have watched on average 4 hours a day of television. I'm not kidding you. Some of you, that may sound like a high number, but I know Christians who watch 4 hours a day of television. Some of them have never read through the Bible one time. Think of that. And don't think of everybody else. We should think of ourselves. I think of myself. I look at myself and say, how much of your time, how much of your income, how much of everything? And you know, I'm not boasting. I'm telling you that a lot of people would think, wow, that's a lot. Not when I consider what Jesus has done. It's minuscule. And I know people 20 years ago said, well, too late to make up for lost time. God's not asking you for make up for lost time. But now 20 years later, they still haven't made any effort to improve. Well, we left off in the last message by saying, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And most Christians, I'd have to say, are not pressing at all. And it says in the verse 15, let us therefore as many as be perfect. Biblically, the word perfect is used in the sense of complete or exactly or right. That's the biblical use. It's funny that when people think of perfect in certain terms, they think like absolutely without any, you know, flaw at all. Then they use the word differently all the time. You notice that? There's a dual usage in our daily use of the word that causes this confusion when people see the word perfect in the Bible. Imagine looking at someone and saying, I am perfect. Believe it or not, there's a segment in Christianity who tell you that. They believe they've been entirely sanctified. The sinful nature has been eradicated. And I am now perfect. No, they're all over the country. Here in Ohio... Oh. Well, there was someone in mind that isn't from South Carolina, though. But I was... I've told this story a couple of times. Some of you may have heard this, but I did a funeral. And during the funeral, I said about the lady that was saved. No, going, we knew. It's going to sound funny, but you know it's fun to do funerals when someone's saved? It is. The only time it's not fun doing funeral is when the guy or gal is lost or they're not sure. And then when you're comforting the people, sometimes they can be really upset. That's no fun. But let me tell you, I've done some funerals. I had a good time. And that's the way that person laying there in front of me in the coffin would have wanted it. Because they were saved. They were in heaven. And it was awesome to be able to say, this lady is in heaven. And I made the mistake, quote unquote, of saying, she wasn't perfect. She sinned. But she was saved. And she was the type of person, if she sinned, she wanted to get that thing right with God. If she ever did anything to you that was wrong, she wanted to get it right with you. She's just a wonderful example, et cetera, et cetera. On lady comes up after and says, you know, very wonderful to hear the gospel presented in the funeral message. But I have to disagree with you on one thing. We can be perfect. We can be sinless. And I said, no, I took the word right out of my mouth. I said, really? And she says, yeah. I said, are you? She's, yes, I am. I said, no, you're not. You just lied. Doug, what made it worse, or Janice, you brought it up, or what made it worse was she claimed to be a pastor as well. I said, so you sin by calling yourself a pastor. I said, you're going to defying God's word right there. Well, now she starts smiling. We're not going to argue at a funeral, so I'm just going to let it go. But I believe you're wrong. I said, well, the Bible says you're wrong. Have a nice day. Yeah. So we asked the question, perfect? Well, think about how you hear that word used today, and I'd say you probably use the word today. This taco is perfect. Right? How many of you, I'm not talking about Taco Bell, although, you know, some of you might like that, but you go to a real good Mexican restaurant, but Jenny's made some good tacos. And you're like, ooh, how is it, honey? This taco's perfect. My boyfriend is perfect. I have to defend her. I don't think I ever heard Mariah say those words. But that's actually healthy, though. But, yeah. How about this one? That dress fits you perfect. Men, learn those words. That dress fits you perfect. I also want to clue you in on some marital, it's post-marital for some of you, but... If your wife looks at you and says, does this make me look fat? What do you call that when people go to sleep? Like narcolepsy. Develop narcolepsy at that point. Here's sports. But that pitch was... And what's funny is now they have the little thing on there. It shows you. And a lot of times you're like, oh, well, I guess it wasn't. Anyway, here's other words we do that with. Awesome. That word has totally lost its meaning. It's like, you know, I love hamburgers, but there's no such thing as an awesome hamburger. There's some really good ones. I was telling Doug, I like Five Guys, but they're so massive and awesome. Jenny, I'll cut them in half and split, you know, because when we buy one whole one for ourselves, we come out there, you know, feeling amazing. How often people say, you know, like food, chocolate cake. This chocolate cake is amazing. Amazing? Look that word up and see if chocolate cake can be amazing. You know what I mean? Yeah, I love chocolate. That was my nickname in school, was fudge. But there's no such thing. And you hear kids say, it was the worst. Yeah. No, actually, you could be in a prison camp somewhere. Right. You know, you could be in the burn unit. You know, I'm not trying to get too serious on you, but you know what I mean? Kids these days, that was the worst. It was it. After I put this together, I remember Tim Hawkins. Is that his name? Tim Hawkins. He's got a skit where he does this thing on his daughter saying, it was the worst. You got to see that. Look it up on YouTube after church. I about died. Think of these poor people who are learning English. And they hear you use the words that they've learned from their dictionary, and they're like, you did? That's terrible. You know? I about died.
That just means they drove on 315.
Yeah. You're killing me. I've been told that, and at no time was I actually killing anybody. So you see how language is. You have to be careful with that when you read the Bible. A lot of times people say, well, that word's changed its meaning since 1611. No, it hasn't. We still use it the way the 1611 uses it, but we also use it all kinds of other ways, which make the language almost impossible for some people to learn and understand. I used to work with this guy. I can't remember what country he came from. Is it Eastern Europe, I think? Somewhere in Eastern Europe. And he would constantly be saying, what do you mean? He would constantly be doing that because people would use the language wrong. And, you know, he's like, you people who speak the language don't seem to know your own language. Well, the word perfect is defined very well. It's a biblical definition. I always have to say this. The Webster's 1828 is not our final authority. But I'm just being honest that sometimes these definitions, I never refer people to the modern Merriam-Webster dictionary. But for the Bible, I mean, especially. But once in a while, there's a definition in the 1828. It's like, because Noah Webster believed the Bible, although he was tempted to change it himself. But in his dictionary, constantly used the King James Bible to use for his definitions. And for the word perfect, he says it's fully informed, completely skilled, as men perfect in the use of arms, perfect in discipline. Now, for example, somebody who's perfect in the use of arms doesn't mean they never miss, but it means that their skill has reached a level that they're about as good as you get. See what I'm saying? Wouldn't you love for people to think of you and think, wow, I mean, I've had people say this about me, and it's not true. They say, man, your knowledge of the Bible is perfect. No, it's not. I am constantly having to look up things, and I'm thankful for my fellow traveler here, Jenny, who is saying, I don't think that's really, I'm going to have to look that up. But wouldn't it be wonderful to have that reputation? I mean, you know, some people want to be known as the guy who knows everything about fill in the blank. Why are there so few people who want to be known as the guy who knows the Bible? I've pastored a lot of people over the years, and most of them want to tell you how much their pastor knows the Bible. Ooh, my pastor. I said, don't brag on me. And, you know, learn the Bible yourself so you can just talk about the Bible without bringing me up. That's why I tell people we had a Q&A Wednesday night. I thought we had a good time with it. But I don't just sit up here and say, now, throw a question at me and in 30 seconds I'm going to whip out an answer. There have been a couple of fellows through the years who do that, and a couple of them are some Bible teachers too. I'm not putting them down as Bible teachers. But the point is not how good is Greg? The point is, the answers are right here. The point of our Q&A is, ask me any question, and if I can't give it to you right now, I'll find the answer because it's in here. Unless you're asking me, you know, whether, you know, how to change your spark plug on your car. That's not in here. But anything that's in there, you ask me, we'll find it. Amen? What? James 1:5. Yeah, but technically, that's not wisdom. That's all right. So, verse 16. As many as be perfect, verse 15 says, be thus minded, and if any in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Meaning, even if you don't know everything, you can have a good, complete knowledge that God will continue to still teach you things. Now, read verse 16. Nevertheless, read it with me. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So there are areas where you can attain. You're just never going to attain all areas. So, in other words, have the same teachable attitude about areas you need work on that you had in those that you've grown in. I'm here to tell everybody in this room, you don't know everything. And I try to really put in time and study and get these messages ready. I read the Bible, study the Bible, put these down. So once in a while, at least, you're going to hear something that you have never learned before. Try not to act so shocked. I've had people come up and say, I've never heard that before. Wow. I mean, what am I supposed to say? Yeah, I thought you knew everything. You know? Just think about how crazy that comment is. I never heard that before. And shouldn't you come kind of expecting to learn something you hadn't heard before since you don't know everything? But people, they wouldn't say it. I think I have a screen up there. It's a fact that most people see themselves as perfect spiritually. They wouldn't say it. I'm not saying they go around saying it. I'm saying that that's their attitude. They would say, I have not arrived. I'm not perfect. And yet that's their mode of operation. And so anytime someone tries to teach him something, he's like, well, I've never heard that before. How many of you heard that? Yeah. How many of you said it? Come on, you bunch of liars. Yeah. Raise your hand because I know you've said it. People say it all the time. I've said it. And then I have to think, wait a minute. Big deal. We're just talking about Greg Miller's noggin. It's not real impressive that I hadn't heard that before. There is an awful lot I haven't heard. What was it? Just this week, or two or three times you were watching something and watching a thing on Giants, Tom Horn, and somebody's put out, and then we watched a thing on the War of 1812. And it just, I've studied the War of 1812, read books about it. And then, yeah, and then you put it on the, and like, whoa, I thought I knew everything. It's true that evidently I'm offending some of you. You're looking at me like, you don't know everything. I'm sorry. You learned something today. It's true that most would deny that they think they're spiritually perfect, as I said, but try teaching them something, or heaven forbid, correcting them. Yeah. I remember one time this lady says, well, money's the root of all evil.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.